All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on this Wednesday edition. Thursday, we'll be down at Smoke on the Water. Times don't work out for us with the College Football Awards show by Home Depot down at the Hall of Fame tomorrow. So Friday, I get the day off. But somebody that's working double time right now, it's our buddy, Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. You can follow him on Twitter at Wahoo Voices. He gets ready. He's doing basketball and, of course, getting ready for the Belt Bowl Saturday, December 29th at Bank of America Stadium at noon. And, Dave, happy holidays. I hope things are well for you.
I can't complain, guys. How you guys doing?
Man, it is December. The sun's out, and everybody's freaking out because there might be a little winter weather headed into the area for the weekend. But, Dave, you know, give us how the season went for the Virginia Cavaliers, because one of the things I took away heading into kickoff of the first game was just the honesty in which Bronco Mendenhall taught the ACC football kickoff, and knowing he didn't have the number of players that he wants, yet they get off to a hot 6-2 start to begin the season.
Yeah, I mean, transparency is going to be the name of the game for Bronco Mendenhall. I mean, it has been since he arrived here. And actually, that to me is one of the most refreshing aspects of him. I mean, you know what he thinks. And he's not playing games, whether he's talking to the media, whether he's talking to alumni, or whether he's talking to his players. And so, yeah, he'll kind of level with you and tell you where he sees things. But I think this clearly was another step forward for a program that has improved incrementally every year since Bronco arrived. But by virtue of the end of the season, I mean, look, it was a really difficult pill to swallow the way this thing ended. Virginia was just the second team in the history of the league to lose two consecutive games in overtime, mm-hmm. and that was to round out the season, one of them to your bitter rival, Virginia Tech, who you had on the ropes, and a chance to beat for the first time in a decade and a half, which is just mind-numbing when you think about it that way. So I think that was fairly traumatic for pretty much everybody on the Virginia side of things, that it didn't end the way they wanted to, especially the way it went down after you outplayed a Virginia Tech team and probably had a better team than they did. But something about that rivalry just haunts this Cavalier bunch. So now the task is to put that behind you, and you have to kind of stew on it for an entire month before you get that chance to play a game against South Carolina. But I think this team will be focused and ready to go, and probably a heck of a lot healthier than they were to end out the season.
I mean, I get it, because it wasn't just a Virginia Tech game. It was three out of the last four games, and all three of those losses came in crushing fashion. I mean, here's a team that could have been staring at 9 wins pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really the hardest part of it. You know you had a chance. Now, I'll make the case. Pitt outplayed Virginia in that game. They just did. They played a more physical brand of football against the Cavaliers. They made more plays. Now, even with that said, I think Virginia could have won the game, but I don't think that you could necessarily make the case that they outplayed Pitt in that game. Now, the other two games, yeah, I think you got a pretty good claim to the case that you outplayed the opponent but still didn't win the game. And I think that's part of the challenge for a young team and a team that's still trying to change its culture to some level, and that is to win games down the stretch and make those deciding plays that can turn things. But, you know, the reality is, for a long time, November has been a very rough month for the Cavaliers. Virginia's just 9-35 in the month going back to 2007. And, you know, November is clearly one of the most important months of the season. You've got to be better then. And for whatever reason, Virginia just has not been able to turn that corner yet in that ever-important month in college football.
As we continue with the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, Dave Kane, you can follow him on Twitter at Wahoo Voice. So South Carolina obviously is banged up defensively, as I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, it has been crazy, Dave. But they're going to have their hands full defensively with Bryce Perkins. Is it fair to call him he's a true dual threat quarterback? He threw for nearly 2,500 yards, 22 touchdowns against 9 interceptions. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he rushed for 842 yards as well.
Yeah, I it's funny, too, because you'll talk to Virginia's coaches about Perkins, and they'll say, no, he's not a dual-threat quarterback. He's a multi-threat quarterback, because he can do a lot of different things. And he's a good physical player, too, good size, and he's got tremendous speed. And, yeah, he's really improved as a passer. I mean, I think the play that's just clearly going to sit in his craw for a long, long time was that fumble at the end of the Virginia Tech game. And, you know, he took a hit. There was a little bit of a problem. I still don't know to this day whether it was a design, whether he was intending to hand that ball off or whether he was trying to keep it. But at any rate, when he tried to pull it, the ball came free, and that decided the game in overtime against Virginia Tech. But, yeah, he is a guy that definitely Virginia has not had in a long time, somebody who defensive coordinators have to game plan around. And when he's right, he is a handful. But, you know, I mean, the thing that was really kind of tricky about that Virginia Tech game was the fact that the offense was rolling with Perkins the first four game first four drives of that second half, and then Virginia got pretty conservative and just stopped really trying to expand the playbook, and they paid the price in the end for it. But in the other part of it for Perkins too was he's been dinged up a little bit at the end part of the season with an ankle. You wouldn't know it. He's a really tough kid, doesn't talk about it, but I could see it a little bit, maybe not quite as fast as he'd been. And I think after a month, you know, of downtime and getting a chance to rehab that ankle, I think he's going to probably be, I would suspect, all system go by the time, you know, December 29th rolls around. So, you know, another weapon for Virginia. They had a few of those, like a lot of teams this time of year.
So one thing we know, Virginia's played pretty much every type of football game this year, from a 16-13 win versus Miami to high-scoring contests like 45-31 over Ohio or putting 45 on the board versus Liberty. South Carolina will be without one of their best weapon in Debo Samuel. So what does Virginia's defense have to do? Because this much I know, even without Debo Samuel, South Carolina's got NFL talent on that offense.
Yeah, and that was, to me, one of the most intriguing parts of this matchup when I heard that it was going to be in the works here, was the fact that you got the SEC's number three passing team going against the ACC's number two pass defense. And I think that's really been a strong point of Virginia's all season long, is pass defense. For a group that's got tremendous defensive backs, you've got NFL caliber defensive backs in that defensive secondary for Virginia, and some depth. I think that'll be a little bit better than it was toward the end of the season, when three of those guys were nursing some significant injuries as well. So I think stuff that hopefully gets better by the time December 29 rolls around again. But yeah, it was a banged up group. Virginia just didn't have a whole lot of depth. I think the area of concern that will still be a concern is the defensive line for the Cavaliers, who came into the season without a whole lot in the way of depth. They had a couple transfers that came in. One of them ended up quitting football. The other one from Ohio State just starting to get playing like they hoped he would a little bit here toward the end of the year, but really didn't even play prior to that. And then you've had a couple season-ending injuries on that defensive line, again, to a group that they didn't feel like they had a ton of depth with to start with. So that's a concern area, I think, for the Cavaliers. But defensively, if they're healthy, this is a pretty good group for Virginia, and I think it'll make for a really interesting matchup. I can't wait to see that part of this game because – yeah, even without Debo out there, I think that, to your point, that South Carolina offense has got some playmakers and a great quarterback, too, so it should be fun to watch.
All right, as we begin closing up shop with our friend Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. Dave, let me ask you, and I tread on this so lightly, but are Virginia fans buying in? Are they headed down to Charlotte for that noon kickoff on the 29th? And I mean this with the utmost respect, is there any opportunity to exorcise the demons of Charlotte? You know what I mean there.
Yeah, believe me, I know what you mean on that. Yeah, I think so. I mean, as far as the buy-in, I think that it would have been at a fever pitch had Virginia pulled out that game against Virginia Tech. I mean, that was a tough loss for a lot of reasons, and that's one of the big reasons. I think Virginia fans were very close to being right back into this thing, because you watch this team. I mean, the progress, you can't deny it. They're getting better every year, and this is still a young team that brings a lot back next season. So I think there's optimism, but we'll still call it guarded optimism for a fan base that hasn't had a lot to cheer about in the better part of the last decade or so. So, you know, I think that they'll buy up tickets. I do. I don't know that it'll be kind of maybe at the same rate that they would have had, again, had they won that game. But in terms of exercising demons, look, I said this to somebody the other day. I think whether it's football or basketball at Virginia, every season until you kick that door down, you're marching toward a pretty good-sized gorilla. And I think for the basketball team, fair or not, that group needs to get to a Final Four, and they've got the horses to do it this year. And then for the football team, they've got to beat Virginia Tech. And that's the way both those seasons are going to end every year, so Charlotte or otherwise. I don't think you fully exercise those demons until you do it.
All right. Final question. You know, you and I were paired on the golf course at your first ACC event, God, like 7-8 years ago, wasn't it? At Reynolds
Plantation.
We're talking
11 years ago, brother.
Is that 11 years ago? Okay.
We're getting old.
I remember coming in from San Francisco the previous day. But, you know, you and I know a lot of people throughout the ACC and college football itself. It's coaching carousel time. I want you to go back a couple of years ago. I don't think I've ever been as surprised when Virginia announced Bronco Mendenhall from BYU as their head coach. Nobody had guesstimated. Nobody had his name in the hat. Had you heard that was going on? Because so many times in today's day and age, these coaching searches are played out on Twitter and in the media.
Yeah, nobody pulls off cloak and dagger quite like Virginia with those things. You could say the same thing for Tony Bennett. When he was hired, absolutely nobody had any idea who he was or that he was even on the radar. It was Tubby Smith at the time. That's what everybody thought for that hire. But for Bronco Mendenhall, yeah, his name hadn't even surfaced. And I think that was critical that it didn't.
Right.
Because if either of those guys' names had surfaced, I think they very likely would have pulled their name out of the running because they were at a place where they were having some success and probably not necessarily saying, okay, this is a surefire thing. I know for Tony, he wrestled with it quite a bit. But, yeah, that was a surprise and a pleasant one because you didn't necessarily know where they were going to go with this thing. I think everybody was talking about Mark Richt, who ultimately ended up at Miami and a seemingly pretty good fit for him there. But, you know, it just goes to show with these coaching searches, the more you think you know, the less you do.
Yep. All right, listen, buddy, happy holidays to you. I know you'll be a busy guy, but since you've taken over that job, you've seen, you know, success in basketball, back to bowl games in football, a national title in baseball. So I would like to head out to Vegas for you before Leslie Brooks starts her freshman year in college.
Yeah, we got to see if we can get football there a little bit before we start betting. But sounds good, Sturge.
All
I appreciate it, man.
Be good. There's Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, and Diesel. I know Ashley might be upset, but I cut you off at both knees to have that voice. I mean, that is that should be like reading books on tape, boys. You know what I mean? That is just so good. But, again, you can follow Dave headed into the Belt Bowl on Twitter at Wahoo Voice. In case you were wondering what we were referencing about exercising the demons for the Virginia Cavaliers, remember, that was Charlotte last year that their number one seed basketball team fell to number 16 seed Maryland Baltimore County for the first time ever. A number one seed went down. And so, you know, I'd hate to feel the wrath of the Virginia fan base leaving with that type of loss again on the 29th. But, hey, it's open phones at 5:37. Get your thinking cap on. We need one contestant and one contestant only to show your knowledge in the Hank's Beverages 12-pack of knowledge contest. That's at 5:37. Today's topic is football and its true-false answers. But we have open phones for the next segment when we come back, and we got some more college football info. So we were talking about that Virginia end of the season there. Starting in November, they played Pittsburgh at home, lost 23-13, followed up with their final game at home on the season against Liberty. It was 45-24 before losing 30-27 at Georgia Tech in overtime. Then 6 days later, 34-31. At Virginia Tech. I mean, so really not that far from 9-3. It'll be interesting to see where their minds are when they play South Carolina. And, of course, same thing with South Carolina. We know Deebo Samuel will not play in the game. And, listen, you know, the list is growing longer by the hour. It all started back on Friday, November 30th. Noah Fant, the tight end from Iowa, announced that he will not – play in Iowa's bowl game in Tampa He caught 78 passes this year, maybe the first tight end selected. Of course, Ed Oliver, the defensive lineman from Houston. Then Greedy Williams, the cornerback from LSU on Sunday, December 2nd. Rashawn Gary, the defensive lineman from Michigan that same day. And then, of course, this Monday, we had Justice Hill, the running back from Oklahoma State. N'Keal Carey, the wide receiver from Arizona State. Kelvin Harmon, the wide receiver from NC State. And, of course, Deebo Samuel. Jermaine Pratt announced today from NC State, a linebacker that was an all-ACC selection, second in the conference with 104 tackles. He's going to sit out the Gator Bowl versus Texas A&M. So, that's nine. The list is going to continue to grow. I don't have a problem with Deebo. Why? Because his career was it wasn't ruined at South Carolina. It wasn't what it could have been if he had remained healthy. So you don't want to risk an injury. But Diesel, at what point does this start to look crazy? Because you know it's going to continue. More kids year by year that they're going to do this. To me, it's like early entrance into the NBA draft. Once you reach well past the number of draftable places for the early entrance, that's mm-hmm. when you realize some kids made a mistake. Some of these kids are not going to be first and second round draft picks.
Well, that's going to be the
tipping point?
Well, no, that's going to be what coaches will say to some of their players. Look, you may not be – or you may be making a mistake by leaving your bowl game early – or not playing your bowl game and preparing for the draft. That's another opportunity you could wow some of the coaches or some scouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to begrudge anybody their opportunity to go play at the next level, especially if they have been plagued by injuries in their career. You're just not going to do it. So, but that list is going to grow. The one good thing about offensive coordinator Mike Locksley at Alabama taking the Maryland job is he is going to coach at Alabama through the college football playoff. And can you do two things well at once? You know what I mean? Lane Kiffin was obviously getting prepared for his next job in the college football playoff semifinals a couple of years ago and decides to go on and to Florida Atlantic. So can Locksley be a Big Ten head coach at Maryland and offensive coordinator at Alabama? You know, the reality, we were talking about Scott Satterfield taking the Louisville job. He will not coach Appalachian State in their upcoming bowl game next Saturday in New Orleans. But from Alabama's perspective, that could be a major concern, Diesel. But the one thing is that's a situation they've dealt with multiple times now, losing offensive coordinators. So next man up when it comes to that situation, no doubt. All right, listen, there's a little NBA game tonight. The Golden State Warriors are playing at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Does that matchup sound familiar in any way, shape, or form, Diesel?
Once or twice I've heard of that one.
All right. Think about how fast the sports landscape can change. Game four of the NBA Finals. The last time these two teams, Golden State and Cleveland, played at the arena in Cleveland was game four of the Golden State of the NBA Finals back in June. The cheapest seat to get into the arena was $300. All right. Game four of the NBA Finals. I get it. Do you know what the cheapest seat to get into Gund Arena tonight in Cleveland is for the Golden State Cleveland Cavaliers matchup?
Probably about $40.
$10. We hadn't even left the same calendar year yet. Now, granted, you can never put a December contest in the regular season up against game four of the NBA Finals. But you would think even seeing Golden State come in, you know, it'd be worth them more than $10 a ticket because, you know, we're talking about days of our lives going on at Auburn University with their coaching program, coaching situation with Gus Malzahn. Well, you got the same thing going on in the NBA with LeBron and the Lakers. You know, we've asked, why didn't more people line up once LeBron James came back to Cleveland to come play with them and try to win their championship? You know, Ray Allen, at the end of his career, he went and chased championships instead of paychecks and ended up with not one but two NBA titles. But why haven't more people lined up to go play with LeBron and try to get that title on the way out the door? I maintain because a lot of people just don't want to be played second fiddle. Number two, LeBron is general manager, he is coach, and he is owner of the team. What he says goes, and nobody's ever going to buck him on that. And I don't think that there's a lot of other superstars in the NBA that want one person speaking for the entire locker room. And one of the biggest names in the NBA that's coming up as a free agent this upcoming season is Kevin Durant with said Golden State Warriors, Diesel. And he said playing with LeBron and being around LeBron is his toxic environment. So a lot of people have gone out and speculated, LeBron James is going to go out there and recruit his own super team for the Lakers for the final run of his career. Doesn't sound like Kevin Durant is even the least bit interested in it when he calls the headline. It says Kevin Durant doesn't sound like someone who wants to play with LeBron in his toxic environment. And that's because LeBron calls the shots. LeBron, here's the deal. Are the Lakers bigger than LeBron?
At this point, no.
All right.
But that they should be.
But that is one of the if not the most storied franchise in the NBA. The only other team that is even in the same breath is the Boston Celtics. And I got to go with Boston on that one because they've never relocated. People don't realize the Lakers relocated from Minnesota to L.A. back in the day with one of the best centers in NBA history by the name of George Mikan. But, now – when I think of Lakers, the first thing that pops up is LeBron. But when I think of LeBron, the first thing that pops up is not the Lakers. All right? The Lakers are bigger than LeBron. But there's been a lot of rumors around Kevin Durant. He began stating what type of players work with LeBron, saying Kyle Korver, who is not a number one option, works, but someone who wants the ball in their hands like Kawhi Leonard will make no sense, said, quote, if you're a younger player like a Kawhi, trying to pair him with LeBron James really doesn't make sense. Kawhi enjoys having the ball in his hands, controlling the offense, dictating the tempo with his post-up. It's how he plays the game. A lot of young players are developing that skill. They don't need another guy. Durant goes on to say, which I think he, Kevin Love, deserves way more credit for switching his game to play with LeBron. Bosh, the same way. LeBron is a player that needs to play with guys that already know that they play the game and shoot. Already know how they play the game and shooters. Like young players that are still developing, it's always going to be hard because he demands the ball so much. He demands control of the offense, and he creates for everybody. When talking about the toxicity around LeBron, this is what he had to say, Kevin Durant. So much hype comes from being around LeBron and from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's not even about basketball at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment because it's toxic. Especially when the attention is bull, you know what, attention, fluff. It's not LeBron's fault at all. It's just the fact you have so many groupies in the media that love to hang on his every word. Just get out of the way and let us play basketball. You know, we've been making that comment for a long, long time, Diesel. You make it to the NBA, you got an ego. Why? You got to think you're better than the next guy out. You stick a microphone in front of your face talking on the radio. You better have a little bit of an ego. Because guess what? You're going to get cussed out on Twitter. I've been cussed out by Clemson and Carolina fans in the last month. So therefore, I feel like I must do a pretty decent job. I've got it from both sides. But I couldn't agree anymore with Kevin Durant here. That's what we've been saying for the last year. It is about LeBron. And I don't think, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure how this thing's going to work out with the Lakers. Just simply in the fact the Lakers are still the one of two teams in the NBA that are bigger than LeBron James's legacy is. And you might throw the Chicago Bulls in there as well, but they're pretty bad. And if you haven't heard, they're college athletic directors that are already looking at the coaching carousel, Diesel. Fred Hoiberg, the former Iowa State head coach that did a great job in Ames, Iowa, that took over the job for the Chicago Bulls, was just fired after a 5-19 start. So athletic directors, it is only December. Shoot, we aren't even into mid-December. Friday's Pearl Harbor Day. If you don't know, that's December 7th. Shame on you. You didn't pass U.S. history. But think about it. That type of talent in Fred Hoiberg already on the market for next year's coaching carousel when it comes to college basketball. That is a pretty big item right there. All right, here's the deal. Give us a call, 844-GSP-ESPN. It is time for our Hank's Beverages 12-pack of knowledge contest. We need one contestant. Here's the deal. You've got a six-pack of Hank's Beverages sitting in a box right now. We're going to ask you six questions. They're all true-false. They all pertain to football. And guess what? Each one you get right, Tony Salvatore up in Philadelphia with Hank's Beverages, he's going to put another soda in that box and ship it to you, and it's going to be sitting there in your house before Christmas Day ever gets here.
I can confirm these are delicious sodas. They go well with liquor, if you like that. But the thing is, Sturge, you can't even get these in South Carolina right now yet. They are coming, right?
Yep,
there's stores that are coming, but they don't stock it yet. So if you want to be the first one to try this stuff, you better get in.
Well, the phone lines are lighting up. We will give these questions when we come back. They're true, false on college football. It's our Hank's Beverages 12-pack of knowledge contest. You can get their product at hanksbeverages.net. Of course, coming to Ingles Supermarkets all throughout the upstate. All right, Diesel. Bob Patrick gets in during the break. Grant, a lot of people got called in. Try next week. We'll give two more 12-packs away before we get out of here for Christmas. But, Bob, I hope you're doing well today.
Well, Sturge, I hope your back's good. I hope your house got finished.
Jeez. There's an entire different three-hour story for another show, okay, Bob? But here's the deal. You're already a winner, all right? Merry Christmas. It's Hank's Beverages. You're sitting with a six-pack of Hank's in your in a box right now. Now, we're going to try to round out that 12-pack, and Hank's has got root beer, diet root beer, vanilla cream soda, orange cream soda, black cherry, birch beer, and my personal favorite, grape soda. So are you ready?
I'm ready to go, sir. True and false questions, correct?
Yep. Yep, you got a 50-50 shot. All right. Number one, it takes 600 cows to make one full season's worth of NFL footballs. It takes 600 cows to make a season's worth of NFL footballs. True or false?
I would say that is true.
All right, you are correct. It is true, and PETA is going to raise hell about it after earlier today. All right, so you got another one in there. All right, true or false, just 2 years after finishing their playing careers, approximately 48% of NFL players go bankrupt.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely true.
Wrong. It is actually 78% of NFL football.
I thought it'd be high. Okay.
Yep. So change the number up there on you. All right. True or false, Bob? Deion Sanders is the only person in sports history to both hit a Major League Baseball home run and score an NFL touchdown in the very same week.
Wow. I got to go true on that, too.
You are absolutely correct. Not only that, he is the only person to play in both a World Series and a Super Bowl. So, all right. Now, true or false, Bob, does the G on the Green Bay Packers helmet stand for the city Green Bay?
No.
You are correct. You are correct. It is no. Do you know what
Sorry,
it stands
Bob.
For?
You know what? I don't, but I know it don't stand for Green Bay.
Yep, it had GB probably. It stands for greatness. So Diesel's
wow, I didn't either.
Yeah, Diesel is proving why he's Sports Talk's most decent producer right here. All right, two more, Bob. The first recognized football game was played between Rutgers and Princeton University in 1869 using rugby-like rules.
True.
Yep. All right, your final question. The day of the Super Bowl is the day that Americans consume the most food throughout the year. True or false?
Geez, that's a hard one. The day of the Super Bowl, the most consumed food.
Yep, for the entire calendar year. True or false?
Going true.
False. It's actually Thanksgiving Day. So
I was gonna go with if it wasn't for that, I would have went for the Sweet 16.
Yep. So that would have been a good guess as well. All right. So here's the deal. Diesel's going to put you on hold. He's going to get your information, Bob, when you're going to have a nice box of Hank's beverages sent to you right there to your front door. And again, we want to thank Tony Salvatore, our friends at hanksbeverages.net. You can go online. You can get your order in for Christmas. If you want to do something completely different, then I challenge you to go check them out. But the beautiful part about it, here in 2019, you're going to be able to enjoy and go get some Hank's Root Beer right in our Ingalls grocery stores here in the upstate of South Carolina, in North Carolina as well. And of course, you know, Ingalls is a sponsor of College Football Today on 93.3 The Planet, as well as the Southern Conference Basketball Tournament. So that's going to be a good matchup for our buddy Tony Salvatore in Ingalls Grocery Stores. Again, do us a favor. You want to do something a little bit different and a little bit interesting, go to hanksbeverages.net. Absolutely fantastic. Root beer, diet root beer, birch beer, black cherry, vanilla cream soda, orange cream soda, and my personal favorite, the grape soda. All available. Also diet root beer as well. HanksBeverages.net. All right, we'll come back. We'll close up shop here in this hour with a segment of Open Phones. And then the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we're headed out to Dallas, Texas. I've got a friend out there, Edward Egros. He is the sports director for Fox News 4 in Dallas. We're going to talk about Clemson, Notre Dame, and the Cotton Bowl. We'll also get an update on that number one in the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys team, that's playing good football right now as well. All that coming up here between now and 7 p.m. Give us a call, 844-GSP-ESPN. So, Diesel, you ready to go into meltdown mode? Chris Justice of our friends over at WYFF News 4 says, sends me a note, the likelihood is increasing that a winter storm will impact parts of the region, including portions of the upstate. Ingredients for snow, sleet, and freezing rain are more coming together for Saturday evening through Sunday in the Carolinas. And guess what? It looks like I-85 is going to kind of be the cutoff line. Anything above I-85 is going to get wintry weather. Anything below of it, it's going to get more rain and maybe sleet. So it's supposed to, says the rain is expected to change to a wintry mix on Saturday evening and overnight into Sunday morning. So you better go get your bread. Don't understand it. I'd rather have steaks and baked potatoes than I'd rather have grilled cheeses and milk. You know what I mean? But
hey, I got a portable gas grill with extra cans. I'm ready to cook.
Just you know, you're not going to be trapped in your house for 2 weeks, but you got to go get bread and milk and everything.
Just make sure
else
you got gas in the tank.
Right.
Have at least a half a tank of gas.
So, Diesel, you're sitting here talking about being worn out and how here when we're done at 7 p.m. going and getting a five-hour energy. So I can let you know, and when I see this stuff and I actually know the school, and this one's high school and we don't talk about high school very much, then guess what? We get to share the story with our listening audience. You think you're having a bad day, a little bit worn out with your Metallica T-shirt on? Well, you're not having as bad of a day as this high school football assistant coach up in Knoxville, Tennessee at South Doyle High School, the South Doyle Cherokee Chiefs, I believe, or Cherokees, because I lived up in the Knoxville area. But Justin McCarter, who was an assistant coach on the South Doyle football team, just watched his wife get sentenced to go to prison. Do you have any idea what Kelsey McCarter, the wife of assistant coach Justin McCarter on the South Doyle Knoxville, Tennessee high school football team, was up to be sent to prison? She was having sex with one of his players.
Oh.
Man, that's got to suck. You know what I
mean? I hope it's the starting quarterback.
But not only does your wife cheat on you, she cheats on you with a high school kid that just happens to be one of your football players as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope it's the starting quarterback, because I don't know if it's the third string defensive lineman. Something about that just stings even more.
I mean, how in the world are you supposed to, you know, they keep saying forgive and forget, you know, blah, blah. I couldn't forget that, and I dadgum sure couldn't forgive it. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean I got to hate you, but you ain't getting a second bite off that apple when it comes to being married to me. You know what I mean? If you're gonna go use the bad judgment to go sleep with a high school kid while cheating on me, guess what? Go on, and you're not getting a check every month either. I should be getting the check. You know what I mean? Because you screwed me over. All right, the NFL this weekend. Of course, everybody wants to know what's going on with Cam Newton's shoulder right now, because it was obvious on Sunday something wasn't right in that 24-17 loss at Tampa Bay. You know, especially when Cam Newton's been out there the previous couple of weeks talking about he thought he was playing some of the best football of his career. He didn't on Sunday in Tampa Bay when you fall 24-17 to the Buccaneers for your fourth consecutive loss to drop to 6-6 on the season. But thank you. Just like we said about college football this year, Diesel, everybody sucks in college football. Every conference sucks in college football and everything else. I guess we can say that about the NFL as well, because the Carolina Panthers, even though they're pretty much out of it, or they are out of it when it comes to the NFC South race, they're still in wild card contention at 500. Lets you know about some of the mediocrity being played in the NFL right now. But this story became kind of fascinating. Do you remember, say, 5 years ago or so? And I guess my time is off when Dave reminds me it was 11 years ago that we met down at Reynolds Plantation in Georgia for the ACC football kickoff. But do you remember the Cleveland offensive lineman about 5 to 7 years ago that the official threw a yellow flag and it hit him in the eye and caused him to lose vision in his left eye, and he almost went after the official on the field? And I can't sit here and say in that situation, when you may have affected my playing career, I wouldn't be upset as well. But Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes accused NFL official Roy Ellison of calling him the B word. Should we leave it at that? B-I-T-C-H, all right? But Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes accused NFL official Roy Ellison of calling him that B-word during Sunday's game, and now the NFL has taken the first step toward disciplining and even firing the NFL official. Yesterday, Ellison was placed on administrative leave by the NFL. Now, the NFL did suspend Ellison for a game in 2013. Because he used abusive language toward a player. And he'd been warned earlier about using abusive language toward players after even previous allegations. So it's at least the third time an incident has taken place with this official. Now the NFL officials group, whatever their union is or whatnot, they're fighting for Roy Ellison to not be suspended and to make sure he keeps his job. But Diesel, if you have shown not once, but not twice, but now three times that you have been abusive in your language toward the players in which you're officiating the game, can you be held as an official at that point? I just don't see how the players are ever going to know and ever going to be able to respect Roy Ellison when he walks out on the field in the future for an NFL game. And when you see him, when you see him on the roster of officials for that week, are you not going to try to get under his skin and see if you can't get him out of his game as well? So can the NFL keep an official even if the NFL officials are circling the wagon around them? If it was a first incident, I'd say, yeah, keep them. But after three, you can't I just don't see the way that the NFL can keep this guy. So suspension, whatever. I just, like I said, I would be going out on the field every Sunday, and if I see him, I would be, number one, trying to yank his chain, number two, see if he couldn't get under his skin, but where you know it's actually happened a couple of times, guess what? You know it can happen again as well. All right, if you didn't hear earlier, we really covered it very, very quickly. Last night's basketball scores, Clemson 65, St. Peter 60. The Tigers improved to 6-2. Marquise Reed did leave the floor at the end of the game. He was the leading scorer with 21 points, but he did injure his knee. Brad Brunell said there was some concern. I have not gotten any kind of final judgment or indication of what is the situation with Marquise Reed. Also, I'm going to say it. Clemson fans, I listened to the game last night on radio. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. There weren't a couple. There might have been 2,000 fans in that arena. You can do better than that. You're never going to – don't have any expectations as a basketball school if you're only going to start supporting it when you're on the plus side of 500 when January comes. I mean, you guess what? You gotta go all in, like Dabo said, and there is not an excuse in my mind how a team that made it to the Sweet 16 last year in college basketball can't get more than a couple thousand people in the arena last night. I was actually at Eastside High School, and I left there. And they were having – my daughter was in a play, The Crucible. And why – listen, those kids, I want to give credit, did a great job. But what a touchy, touchy subject when it comes to a high school play, if you know anything about Arthur Miller's The Crucible. They were having a basketball game at Eastside High School last night that I was walking out to my car. There was more energy in that gym at Eastside High School than there was in Little John Coliseum for a team that finished in the Sweet 16 last year. Now, there should be a lot of energy up at Upstate on Saturday. They will host the 25th-ranked Furman Paladins, who got a 98-77 win over Elon yesterday, their biggest win on the road in some time. Five different players ended up in double figures, their 15th consecutive regular season win. And listen, it was next level coverage for our buddy Mike Buddy, the athletic director for the Furman Paladins, on SportsCenter last night, literally featured in the A block. You cannot go wrong with that kind of publicity for Furman University. Kansas got a 72-47 win over Wofford. Terriers played tough. Kansas got some separation there at the end. Wofford now 6-3 on the year. There is one game tonight in college basketball. The Gamecocks 4-3 on the year. They're at Wyoming. The Cowboys are 2-6. That's a 9 p.m. tip-off, and there's one of those places you need to worry about bench and how deep, because you're playing at a much higher altitude up there in Laramie, Wyoming. But when we come back, we're headed out to the Dallas Metroplex. It's our buddy Edward Egros. He is the sports director for Fox News 4 in Dallas. We'll talk about the Cotton Bowl. We'll talk about the Dallas area, what you can expect. And he covers the Cowboys quite regularly. We'll get an update on Dallas Cowboy football as well from Edward Egros when we come back. Open phones after